Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
New black guy with good credit.
Welcome to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Generally, we are here discussing all things finance, but today, social issues have come to the forefront. On April 20th, 2021, former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin was found guilty of murder and manslaughter. Almost a year before, while on duty, Chauvin killed George Floyd, a 46-year-old black man, by kneeling on his neck for over 9 minutes. George Floyd's death sparked massive protests across the United States and around the world. Floyd's death and Chauvin's trial amplified the demands for justice and healing in response to racial bias in policing, the disproportionate use of excessive force against black Americans, and more broadly, the history of racial injustice in the United States. Karen, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, just for a little bit, just a tiny bit of facts, extra facts, on Tuesday, so today is Thursday, April 22nd, on Tuesday, a couple days ago, a jury found former police officer Derek Chauvin, like you said, guilty of 3 charges of murder and manslaughter in the death of George Floyd, an unarmed black man, as we know. And so in this episode, we're going to talk about the financial and social impact of the verdict, actually the possible impact, because we don't actually know. This is our Two Black Guys with Good Credit discussion of what we think this is going to mean for everybody going forward and what kind of changes might lead to. And we already know that everyone and their mother, but business-wise, corporations, people who have a lot of influence over the market have had a lot to say about what's been going on the last couple of days. We know corporations have gotten behind this in a big way. So today we're going to talk about what we've noticed going on in the financial, corporate, and social world and what we think is going to happen going forward.
You know, I tend to believe with both what you're saying, you know, since George Floyd was murdered, and we can now finally say he was murdered, I was wondering, you know, where we're going to go with this, you know, since corporations kind of finally decided to jump on board with this mission. Is it going to be more of a bandwagon thing, or are there going to be real change? So I think the questions today are, you know, what are the implications of the verdict? Financially, socially, politically, how does it affect the black community? And what's the, moving forward, what are the race relations going to be like in the U.S.? Now, let's just chop it up and see, you know, what's really going to happen. You know, just to set it off, guys, you know, defund the police is really no answer to these and other horrors, even if we were politically saleable. It's a blend of better training and speedier punishment that is likely to curb undue police violence.
I mean, I think that's an opinion that it's no answer to these and other horrors. Some people would disagree. I mean, the phrase, I think, gets maybe misinterpreted. Some people think defund the police lit and they take it completely literally. Other people take it as a reallocation of funds and looking at policing is not necessarily dealing with the problem. It's more like if we invest in children, if we invest in the things that are contributing to crime instead of investing in just the police, you know, and, you know, so defund the police, I think, could be a solution. So I
just let me just ask you this in a simple term so we all understand. Defunding the police just means cutting their budget. Does it?
Well, I think I've heard people give different there's different, for me, I think the smart usage of that phrase and what I believe is it's looking at the overall budget. I think like the New York police budget, it was like three, I don't know, like let's say whatever the budget is, it's taking a portion of that budget, but the number would not take officers off of the street. It wasn't like cutting the amount of police. It was moving money and allocating that money for other things that can help society.
Right. So, well, police are already doing, I think the point is the police are doing things that they are not qualified to do, or that other professionals might be more qualified to do, like mental health checks, and they're just not qualified to do that. So defunding the police, I think, in like a non-radical sense means allocating some of that police money for them to do stuff that they're not really qualified to do and giving it to social workers, psychologists, people can perform wellness checks, whatever, you know, even like emergency doctors or whatever, because the police just aren't qualified to do certain things that they're doing. And I think that works a lot better for communities, you know? Who wants the police doing stuff that a social worker is supposed to do?
And just to fact check you, Matt, the New York City police budget in 2020 was $10 billion.
Wow, that's a big budget. It is, but you know, I mean, there's some hope, you guys, because as we know, it's been in the news, the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act cleared the House of Representatives already, and that contains some reforms to that end. So basically the gist of that bill is that it's supposed to end certain police techniques like chokeholds, carotid holds. Those are two forms of potentially deadly force that have been deadly, obviously, in a lot of cases. And those practices would be banned federally, so it wouldn't leave it up to states or other jurisdictions. And that means that federal funding would be attached to making sure that that's carried out, you know, that those are outlined. And also the bill is seeking to improve police training, invest in community programs designed to improve policing, and promote equitable new policies. So already it hasn't been nothing. Now, that's not the verdict. That is the social upheaval that George Floyd's death provoked in the first place. I mean, obviously something had to be done.
And I would just add to this with regards to the fund. I'm always a person when it comes to business, like let's chip away and take small hits first. And I think a simple thing that they could do is like, yeah, have like a type of law enforcement. And I know they have some of them. My friend is a volunteer where they don't have a weapon and they're more there to like solve small community disagreements and stuff like that. Make more of those type of policing a presence where they're there like you said, the small routine traffic stop, the small routine approach to people that are causing something on the street, like have a special uniform for them. And then if they can't resolve it, that's maybe then you go to the next level of getting in an armed officer.
But see, also there's the business of policing. And I think we've gotten to a point where there's numbers that police departments are trying to hit in terms of writing a certain amount of tickets, or there's certain areas where they're targeting. It's like sometimes I think instead of
that is not a conspiracy theory, Matt. I've talked to police officers, and some of them do have goals in which to give tickets out, number of tickets in each. So those are listening. That is not a myth, and that is not a conspiracy theory.
And I'm saying, like, instead of just the general mission to protect and serve, which you know is kind of what the slogan has been for the police forever. It's like it feels like it's become different. Like let's criminalize, let's arrest, let's drive up revenue, let's put certain segments of the population, let's frisk. What's the phrase? Stop and frisk. All those things, I think it's like have kind of combined into this energy from the public of like, yo, like enough. Like the defund the police, I think it's a reaction to too much inappropriate policing. Of course, there's good cops and there's a need for if there's a violent crime going on, or if there's or traffic cops or all, there's definite logic and reason for good policing. But just some of the mentality where it seems like it's almost a for-profit service of let's catch these people, let's write these tickets, let's stop and frisk, let's do this, let's do that, let's criminalize, let's jail people. All that stuff needs to stop. And then you know, I think the other aspects that we all three outline and Karen has discussed in terms of the social work and the different aspects that we can start to fund, I think that's definitely necessary.
We've been watching this all with bated breath. This has been going for a while. This verdict is a landmark verdict, right? Because, I mean, can you guys imagine if he wasn't found guilty with the videos, the riots, everything that's been going on, how insane that would be, what a crazy precedent that would be. So now we've got this verdict, guilty of all counts. There's new accountability. We can all sense it. The vibe is electric right now. But what does that mean for business? Like, what does that mean for the market? What does that mean for corporate America? I mean, really, we need Pratt to weigh in at a certain point. But being Prattless, what's our Two Black Guys with Good Credit take on what this is going to mean going forward?
I think it brings consumer confidence. I think it makes us feel like comfortable that we can do certain things. We can go out. Like, for example, like a lot of the stores were boarded up. They were concerned about rioting, like you said, Karen. A lot of people feel now that tension is leaving, that they can feel comfortable in opening their business. People can feel comfortable in going out to bars, inner city places, and do those type of social events that makes them feel like we're not like, something's not gonna, as we say in Brooklyn, pop off, you know? So I think—
What do you think is, you know, we saw since, for a while, remember when every corporation was posting to Instagram, posting to social media, saying, you know, talking about standing in solidarity with the Black community, it was starting to feel like just corporate messaging. Do you think there's anything genuine behind that? Or do you think the corporations just are saying what people want to hear and that, you know, from corporate America, it's just capitalism all the way?
I think it's a combination. I think for major corporate America, the bigger picture is the bottom line. And if the wind is blowing in a way where people are tired of the oppression and tired of things that just seem, you know, if it's a racial inequality, if racial inequality is the message of the day or the moment, then I think corporate America is a lot of times just going to try to reflect that. Now, that doesn't mean that certain people who work inside of major corporations might not take those issues seriously and people pushing forward agendas and initiatives don't take it seriously. But I think the bigger, if there's a pie chart, the biggest part of the pie for corporate America is their bottom line. They're trying to make money.
Well, I would say this, though, you know, just to add, this has always been the ongoing argument. I've written essays on it. And, you know, 20 years out of college is still the ongoing argument. Right. Do corporations have a social responsibility?
And does their social responsibility make a difference, right? So let's say that corporate America is just feeding us lines because that's what their, you know, their analysts.
But do they have a social responsibility? Do you think they have one?
I think they do. I mean, but it's on the public. It's the public's responsibility to hold them to the fire.
So a company that says, I don't, you know, fine, I just make widgets, like I always like to say, and, you know, and I want to stay arms off of this whole Black Lives Movement matter. Does that make that company wrong?
I think it's the kind of thing where there's not a muddled, murky pool of a conversation, because like there's certain things that are extreme. If a company says, okay, I make widgets and I don't want Black people to buy my widgets, well, mm-hmm. that company is probably going to get their feet held to the fire, and they should, because that's just, to me, in a modern society in 2021, that's just not cool. That's not acceptable by any, I think, human.
We grew up in the 90s, though. A lot of clothing lines didn't really want to sell, beverages.
Show me a clothing line that their slogan was, we don't want to serve Black people.
No, but underlying, it was not in their best interest.
We know there's racist people who are owners of companies. There's inequity. There's mess throughout society. But I'm just saying, if a corporation comes out with a stance that is just super extremely racist or biased, they're probably going to suffer the consequences of that. Now,
the NFL didn't.
The NFL didn't what?
With Colin Kaepernick, they didn't suffer any consequences. They actually, ratings went up.
I don't know if that's, well, I don't know to what degree you're talking. You got to give me some facts on what you mean by that. But I would say they suffered a PR disaster of the past 4 or 5 years, and now they're trying to all of a sudden.
I agree on that point, but it didn't affect their bottom line. I agree they did have a PR disaster, but it didn't affect their bottom line.
I don't know whether it affected the bottom line or not, but I guess my general point is I do think major corporations do have social responsibilities. Now, it's whether or not their sins are egregious enough to cause enough of a backlash. Sometimes they get away with it. If you're big enough, if you're powerful enough, if you're selling enough widgets and people just don't care, you're going to get away with it possibly. But
here's the thing, guys. If we're talking about corporate social accountability, what are we really talking about? Let's take a look at some of the corporate messaging that's been going on around this. And my question is, you know, of course, obviously they release these statements because they feel like they have to, because they feel like that's what people want to hear. Is it actually affecting anybody's life if they say, you know, we stand in solidarity? So, for example, Best Buy that you buy your TV from or your phone from or whatever, says, they release a statement saying, While this verdict in the murder of George Floyd symbolizes some measures of progress towards racial equity and accountability, it does not fully erase our nation's history of systemic and institutional racism. We still have a long way to go in our fight against racial we still have a long way to go in our fight for racial justice in this country. And Best Buy's unwavering commitment to this work is as strong as ever. What on earth does that mean?
I mean, I think it's on us to then go research Best Buy and see if they're doing anything beyond that lip service. I don't put a whole lot of stock in like the corporate responsibility. I do think they have one, but if they choose to not do anything or if it's lip service, like to me, it's all on the public's. The public has to hold politicians, business, and people in power accountable, especially if they're talking about stuff. What are you doing? Like the NFL, whatever, like make them show their receipts. Yeah, we're donating this, or we're opening more jobs, or we're hiring equally, or we're not just, you know, whatever the case may be. I just think it's like at a certain point, the people have to make noise. If the people are it's like with wage inequality or the minimum wage. If Amazon is coming out with some commercial about how much they're woke and how much they love the people, but then we look at and we see they're not paying people properly. We need to shine a light, hold them accountable, and make them prove that they're changing things. And mm-hmm. I think it's the same with social justice. If they're doing something wrong or if they're talking about it, it's on them. It's on everyone to basically, if we're interested, we have to check their receipts.
That's true. Yeah, but are we doing that? When we're reading this, we go, okay, that's nice, Best Buy. Is anybody actually looking into Best Buy and saying, well, what's your commitment to racial equality? You know, how is Best Buy moving the needle forward? The question is, does any of their messaging matter to us? Or can we say that it matters indirectly because all of this stuff maybe is good for the stock market, which is good for the economy, which is good for everyone, including the Black community? Is it a direct or an indirect effect we think this has?
I'd say it varies. And I mean, to your point, I mean, it's hard to like, it's not a one answer. I feel like depending upon the issue, I think people might take more interest in it. Like with the NFL, I know people were looking into seeing like what kind of numbers or Jay-Z is now involved. Well, what is he doing? Let's see that like people, the more you talk loud or the more the issue is big, people are going to be looking under the covers, trying to see or pull the rug back and see what's really going on. But to your point, there may be just more of a global benefit of it's just, you know, feel good and everyone. I don't know. I don't really know the answer to that question.
Let's move forward. Let's talk about police impunity. Do you think that now will this make officers feel a little more accountable for and they'll think before they react, and hopefully that'll lead into like better police relationships within the Black community? What's your take on that, Matt?
I mean, that's the hope. I mean, I don't.
But do you think the verdict is going to make?
I get you. I hope that this, like, there's also talks about like some of the law. Like, it's very difficult to convict police officers. And we'd be blind if we were to act like police have not ever had misconduct before or done in, like they've been guilty of crimes before, but rarely do we see a case like this where they get
convicted. Yeah. Well, let's even step forward. When you talk about a case like this, the only reason why Chauvin was convicted because there was video evidence. If there was no video, because even in the initial police report, his cause of death was natural causes. They didn't say
right.
he was choked or a knee was on his neck. So they were already setting it up to get him off. Let's be clear about that.
That's the only
conviction that happened. Let's just be very clear on this show.
Yeah, that's
because there was video evidence. Nothing else.
And that's the hope that body cameras and social media and people filming the cops and all that type of stuff will actually, if there's misconduct, will lead to convictions and would then thus lead to police changing and modifying their behavior, taking more care. Because you can see there's so many examples of police going into different communities and handling things differently. Like, you know, like the excessive force seems to happen a lot in communities of color or lower economic communities. So maybe this will lead to or be a beginning, a turn in how they are in mass treating the public.
Well, a bill is being brought forward to make it illegal to video record police officers.
Wow.
I don't think that's not positive.
You don't know. Exactly. So do you see where this is going? Because now we have the power in our phones, right? So, and I'm not trying mm-hmm. to be, you know, Mr. Skeptical, but it you know, it's interesting.
Well,
It's interesting.
I mean, look, when we had all of those protests, you know, that did something to the market a year ago. And the interesting thing is that if you look at the market now, today, you know, Thursday, April 22nd, 2021, and over the last couple of days, it has, you know, the stock market is actually still in the red, but it doesn't have to do with this social unrest. It has to do with possible coronavirus lockdowns, oil prices, what's happening in tech. And so,
well, on a
maybe,
side note, I just want to say, like, you know, it's been a year you've been on the show, Karen, and like, you're actually looking at the markets right now. I mean, congratulations. Kudos to you. Like, you're actually looking at the markets. We've come a long way in our therapy, Karen. We've come a long way.
Well, what's interesting to me about that is that when things go south, you definitely see a change in the market. But when things go well, like, you know, we're seeing this verdict, it doesn't necessarily have an effect. It sounds like bad things definitely have an effect, but good things, unless they're wildly good, like some sort of corporate announcement, don't have a ton of effect. It sounds like maybe corporations are sort of hedging their bets, saying what needs to be said, and trying not to cause any kind of volatility that might affect the market.
Yeah, so it comes back to business. It's corporate. Like I tell people all the time, corporations are, you know, they're not a fraternity. They're there for profit. If it makes them look good and it leads to profits, then hey, I think they're on board, to be quite frank. I don't want to be blunt about it. I think they're on board. You know, I remember when I worked at a certain company, American Express. I was going through some, you know, some type of, I would say, corporate racism. And I thought I could go to my HR to bring it to their attention, to let them know what was happening. And like, you see Matt, he's shaking his head. Because when you're 24, 26, you think that that's what they're built there for, to help you. They're human resources. But you realize their best interest is the interest of
the
corporation.
We got a problem.
We got a problem. Exactly. How do you know? Exactly. I was isolated. My emails were then looked over. It was my world changed when I went to HR and complained about the racism that I was being affected by. I thought HR was supposed to be something that was supposed to help me. Then I realized they're protecting the interests of the company.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, it goes back to what you guys are saying. I don't know. I don't know if their social responsibility is what we think it is. I think it comes back down to the bottom line.
Right. But, you know, the good news sounds like, you know, and we were talking about defunding the police, and really what we mean is allocating resources more towards the community. That can only be good for people in a market sense, right? Like financial empowerment and but not just that, but enfranchisement for people. And like even any additional feeling of safety or, you know, accountability, that has to be good for people's employment, creativity, spending, energy, you know, mood, like all of those little micro things that feed into this macro economy.
No, great point. I agree with you, Karen. I look at it like this. The debate about the slogan defund the police had many focusing on the extremes of the statement, thus making it a divisive, negative debate about are you for or against the police. But to your point, the point of all this is really, instead of defund the police, the slogan maybe should be let's fund our communities so we don't need to live in an over police state. But anyway, on that note, we have to take a quick sponsored break, so stay tuned because we need to fund our show. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more Two Black Guys with Good Credit discussing the impact of the Chauvin verdict.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Black guys. Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit. Today, the social issues of our world are the leading story. So we've been taking a look at how the George Floyd murder and the recent conviction of Derek Chauvin are impacting us, the social and potential financial impacts of this case. So the story was everywhere. Obviously, the trial was everywhere. Obviously, since George Floyd was murdered, it's been front of mind and front of news. And when the verdict came out, some might be surprised to have seen like ESPN and other networks covering and having a ticker on what's going on. I wasn't really surprised to see that. ESPN is very well aware of all of the social issues going on, from the Colin Kaepernick to the, you know, LeBron and the bubble. Like the athletes have been very vocal about what's going on. So this was very front of mind to the sports public. But a lot of people may have been surprised to see the wide impact, and the interest was pretty much, it was not relegated to just the news channels.
Right. That was interesting. I mean, everybody's getting in on it. I think it's interesting also that the corporate relevance of this is not limited to anything, right? Best Buy is getting involved, you know, ESPN, which isn't that random. I mean, you know, there's a lot of black athletes. There's a lot of people, you know, athletes of color. Like they should make a statement. They actually, of all the corporations, it's actually the least surprising to me that they would make a statement, because they have an actual responsibility to the people that make the money.
Yeah. I mean, Uber made statements, Apple made statements, Citigroup made statements, Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook made statements. They all came out right away to make their statements. And so it was amazing to see corporate America come out. And let's just hope the way they're making their statements, they're going to hire people of color. You know, go ahead.
Did the guy that makes the pillows, what's the pillow guy?
Trump. But if with regards to Trump, you know, just mentioned that you're bringing up my man Trump, you know, Black Lives, you know, it pushed them out. You know, to me, this Black Lives Matters movement and God rest George Floyd helped overturn this election. You know, it really turned the election. It made, you know, I'm sure that was part of getting him out of line. It helped people to really wake up and get out there and vote in massive numbers, in record numbers.
Right.
So, yeah, we can't make change. You know, all this protesting, when they were passing my block last year, protesting Black Lives Matter and George screaming George Floyd's name. And I live in Clinton Hill, Brooklyn. I was just like, really? And it was like, you know, more white people than black people.
Yeah.
But the old saying was, for years, like, for in order to really get rid of racism and really uplift and everybody treated equally, like, everybody has to get involved. It can't just be a black matter. It has to be a human matter. So I saw that in my neighborhood. I wasn't a believer, but I think this, what's happening now and this verdict is showing some light that, you know, we can make change. And this show, come on, Two Black Guys, a Good Credit, and the Jewish Girl, like, you know, and during Black Lives Matter, like, we are about change.
I'm an optimist by nature when it comes to life, but when viewing this and this case and you know, the history of police brutality and racism when it comes to policing, I have a hard time just, you know, being too overjoyed. I'm happy for the verdict, and I'm happy for the family of George Floyd. Rest in peace, George. But to think that this case and this verdict is all of a sudden going to, you know, fix and change and make, you know, all the police forces across the country
right.
Begin to, like, you know, this is not a cure-all, is I guess where I'm trying to get to. It's going to take work, and it's going to take continuing efforts from people from all walks of life to all basically call out the mess when we see it. But hopefully this is a beginning, a turning point that we can look back years from now and see police changes in the way that they are doing things. And we can, you know, look back and see that this was a key turning point, is what I hope.
And corporate America really is not here to make changes, but I think that the good thing is that corporate America is here to reflect changes. Seeing that hard proof in terms of what corporations are echoing back at us that we care about is really encouraging, isn't it? I mean, if corporate America is a big old dinosaur that takes forever to get the point, so if they're getting the messaging, it means this is a real thing, that real change is happening.
I'll close out and say this. Right now, Black Lives Matter is good for business. I just hope 20, 30 years from now, it continues to be good for business.
Yep.
As long as it's good for business, corporations will stay aligned with this movement.
Exactly.
And, you know, and God rest George Floyd, and, you know, And yeah, and we as Two Black Guys Good Credit, you know, we're always gonna stay focused on what's happening and keeping you focused, not just financially, but socially as well. Cause these things they're all related. You know, you can't be thinking about growing wealth, becoming wealth when you have police pulling you over for no reason, when you have fear of your kids. You know, I have three boys, I have fear of my kids, something happening to them. It's hard to stay focused. So we can't just ignore the elephant in the room.
And don't forget also to let us know what you guys think about all this. I mean, this is more of kind of our Two Black Guys with Good Credit discussion, but we want to know, we want you guys to weigh in. So we have an email, as you know, Sean always tells us, tbgwgc@gmail.com, and let us know what you also think about what's going on. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, this is definitely a change. And like I always say, nothing changes if nothing changes. So this verdict does represent a change. So hopefully it will lead to more change. For Two Black Guys with Good Credit, I'm Matt Smith, and I'm out.
And I am Karen Margolis, one third of Two Black Guys with Good Credit, and I'm out, guys. See you next time.
I'm Sean Linda, the better half of Two Black Guys with Good Credit. And like I say, every show and every week, it's your money. Keep it in your damn pocket. And I'm out. Black guys.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.